team builder, and thank you so much for joining us today on Ask Michelle and Chris. We're here to answer your questions about team building so we can learn and grow together. I'm your host, Michelle Cummings of Training Wheels, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Cavert, of Fun Doing and On Team Building. Let's go find out what we can answer for you today.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Hi, Michelle. Going well. Yeah, I had to think about it a little bit. That was a really dramatic pause there. I'm getting into the idea. I've heard of this. Heard about this a long time ago. I read a lot of books on happiness years ago. Just curious about it. Like, what are the differences in people? And most of the consensus in happiness research is about being content. Hmm. That makes people happy.
Okay.
Versus, there was a couple of books that had this reference to a study where they were asking people, if you were plugged into a happy machine where you were happy all the time, would you stay plugged in? Mm. And over 90% said no. Because they, without that ebb and flow, if we don't have the sad, we don't really know what the happy is. Mm, we don't know how to compare it. So that's where, long story short, that's where I'm at. I'm like, I'm content right now. Contentment is good right now. I'm not really aspiring. I'm doing a bunch of things, but I don't have any really long-term goals, which is kind of fun.
Okay.
Just kind of peaceful.
All right. Excellent.
Shooting for peaceful.
Yeah.
You?
I'm good. I've been home for a couple weeks, so that has actually just helps me hit the reset button and just, you know, when I feel like when I can get my house in order, like, I don't know, just like routine with my family and my kids and my husband, and that's good.
So nice.
And then it, you know, that it's enough of a recharge to go out, do my thing,
right,
be great out there, come back, reset. It's just, yeah, it's good.
Good. Excellent. We always check in with each other. Hopefully,
you know, everyone else probably fast forwarding.
Like, oh, hurry! Yeah, there's that 15-second button or 30-second
right
button. You can do that. Well, we got a question.
We did,
and you got it actually, and sent it to me and said, "Do you want to talk about it? And do you want me to read it?"
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So this is from Seth. Thank you, Seth. We appreciate you. How do we encourage, support, scaffold, build? So encourage/support/scaffold/build into staff culture ways to efficiently reflect on their facilitation after each program.
Mm.
So are we going to talk about our own experience when we were younger, or are we going to save that for the end?
I think we'll do a little bit of both because, you know, I mean, I have been facilitating for over 30 years. And so what I used to do in my 20s is very different now than what I do in my 50s. And so so I think we'll kind of talk a little bit of both and kind of just some strategies on different ways that you can do it. You can either require it, you can encourage it,
we'll build it into the
system. Yeah, so we've got several ideas to share with you.
Okay. And here's what came from after I read Seth's question. So I like to ponder things a little bit, put things in writing, put it on my iPad, think about it for a while, and that really refines my thinking. And there was recently a Charlie Munger quote. Those of you who know Mr. Munger, there are Mungerisms. He recently passed, so a lot of Mungerisms have been coming out. He's in the business world. He was Warren Buffett's partner in an investment firm. And one of his quotes that stuck with me was, "Show me the incentives, and I will show you the outcome."
Mm.
And as I look at some recent experience, I think that was really true for me. What are the incentives to get someone to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're a leader. Michelle works with a lot of leaders, and training leaders to work with their people, there's incentives involved. What are we doing to be able to get them to help guide them into what we'd like them to do, to show them what to do, to lead, to role model, that sort of a thing? And my current experience in the last couple of years, I worked with a staff and two different challenge courses.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with some things because I really wanted them to do some self-reflection. And this was a new group of people, and I wanted to start slow. So the first thing I did, we did a pre-post check sheet. Most ropes courses will have a pre-check. So you check and make sure, and then after you're just putting things away, if anything, repair. So you have pre-post. And in there I put a little box, and I would require the lead to ask the facilitators and to ask themselves what went well, what didn't go well, and then to jot that in that box so that I could at least read that. It could be on report, it's in the file, that sort of a thing. That didn't go very well. We weren't getting good
responses.
Good response.
Yeah.
Due to a lot of reasons. So there was always a reason.
Okay.
Right? Have to get to dinner, have to do this, uh-huh. Have to run. We were running late. It was getting dark, you know. So I get that. And so I thought, okay, what else could we do? How do we, they're already on the clock, so we're not, in a sense, paying them for their time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. What's the incentive if you're paying them by the hour? Are you able to then say, okay, this is included in your pay, is 30 minutes of debriefing time.
Mm-hmm.
And then along with that would be some sort of a documentation.
Right.
Okay, so then I came up with a form. And the form had three questions on it.
Okay.
And I wrote these down from memory because I couldn't access the form from this other company, but this is about what it was. On the form, just three things I wanted them to go through after a program, to sit down together, take 20 minutes and do this every time they can.
Okay.
So it wasn't, we tried every time. What was a 10 for you? So what was a 10? What did you hit out of the park?
From a scale from 1 to 10.
1 to 10.
Okay.
What was a 10 for you today and how did it work? So just explaining, this really worked, this felt good to me. And then just taking some notes. So they're talking out loud, they're sharing it, they're publishing with other people. Second question, what was a 3 for you?
Mm-hmm.
How would you change it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you could go back and change it. So the lead is, I'm teaching the leads, this is just how you fit, just like facilitating a group. You're
right.
Just asking them closing questions. It's not a skill they have to relearn. What would you change about that 3? And then again, self-reflection, documenting it down. Then the third one was, what is something new you tried? So what I required of this staff, what I asked the staff to do is every time they lead a team building program, they're going to try something new. Even if they're just doing highs, they're going to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you might have to think about that. Maybe it's being a lead. Maybe it's being, I will carry the rescue bag and I'll be the lead, but someone else is the lead on the course, but I'll do the rescue. So they're, do something that you don't normally do,
okay.
And then jot that down. So we're getting them to learn on their own, sharpen the saw, mm-hmm. as Stephen Covey says. So those are the three. And that was working out a little bit better, but not as good as I would like it to be. Then someone came up to me and said, could we video our responses, our reflection? I said, oh, cool. So there was one person, whenever she was working, she would set up the video. She must have propped it on the ladder or something. They would all stand around and they would talk to the video, and then they send me the video.
Yeah.
Which was so fun.
That's
Nobody
great.
Had to write. They could kind of talk between each other, so I got to hear the conversation. Because if you just write it down, you're only getting a little.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. So I love that. And that seemed to be fun when she was there. That was like, oh, we got to get a video. Because it was more, the incentive was she liked doing videos.
Yeah.
And then send it to me, they were done.
Well, in this day and age of TikTok and Insta and like all of those, that, it's, age and stage of your staff as well. Maybe that would be a great way. Like, and then they upload it to a Google Drive or, something like that, that is simple and easy, doesn't take as long, but so you might get better engagement with your staff if it's something
like
that.
And even if they have to walk, like our staff had to walk to dinner usually at the end of the day, you could do just like a lot of people do. They just turn on their camera and they're walking, and they could do the whole debrief while they're walking to another place.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of incentivizing is, how do you make it look like it's not extra? So it's mm-hmm. something that's important. And then one final piece that I think for me got the best results, and this is required my time, was whenever as those sheets were coming in, then I thought, okay, I want to get a little bit more response. So the only way is accountability in my sense. I want them to know that their time that they took to write was read, and I want to give them feedback. So then I took the time after programs, because it's usually was after dinner, I would go up and do a quick chat with them at dinner time. So then I would follow up, getting them to see that I was reading,
mm-hmm.
and I was interested in, ooh, tell me a little bit more about that. So now it becomes a relationship
mm-hmm.
of that information. And that's when I got the most success, because they I started seeing that three question page getting a little more detailed, because they spent a little more time knowing someone was going to read it,
right,
than coming back and following up with them and encouraging that learning.
Yeah.
Encouraging that. Do you have any questions about that? What would you, if you got stuck here, did you think about this? So now I also have an opportunity to coach a little bit, because I wasn't always at the course.
That's great.
And that, again, it's an investment. Mm-hmm. An investment in time on a leader's or manager's part to be able to show them that information is important. So it's cultural.
Yeah.
You know, Seth's asking about, you know, how do we get them to do this? How do we get it into staff culture? Well, it has to be something that's easy for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's called activation energy, if you're talking about habit change.
Yeah.
It's got to be super easy. And sometimes it's just going to be three or four words, but at least they're writing. Other times it's going to be a little more when they can be at peace a little bit.
And I think one of the keys that you said there also is that you, they knew that you were reading it because there was then follow-up. And so, and maybe that's a part of really developing the culture around it, is that if there is a little bit of pressure, you know, knowing that there's going to, that someone will be following up with you on the information, then that's going to also, you know, have them actually do it rather than just being like, all right, we did this, and this, whatever.
Yeah.
If
nobody follows up with you, it's just going to get less important.
Right, exactly.
Because then it goes from, oh, they're making us do this and we're so tired. Well, we're going to get in the kind of the closure of that. But the idea of end of the day, tired brain, mm-hmm. brain's tired, you have decision fatigue, you have all this stuff going on, now you have to do this.
Right.
How can it be something that they appreciate and understand that's going to help them?
Yeah. I mean, and I remember being that exact staff person, right? Before I had Training Wheels and I worked at other places. And it's hard at the end of the day when you're just tired and your brain is spent, or if you're outside and it's hot, or if you're outside and it's cold, or even if you're inside, it's just, you've been on, your brain has been on all day.
Yeah.
And then to stop and do more debriefing, sometimes, you know, doesn't feel like it's the exact thing that you really want
right.
to do.
Right.
But I will say, you know, a couple of strategies that I use currently, especially if I'm doing classroom-based training, like more indoors, whatnot, and I use name tents with participants. And the name tents are great just, you know, from a get to know the people in your group really well. But what's more important about the name tent is what I do on the inside of the name tent. So on the inside of the name tent, I introduce it to the group at the very beginning of the day, and I have the facilitators that are also teaching this class introduce it at the beginning of the day. And there's some two sections on the inside. One is, what was an aha for you from today? And then if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. And these are the participants that are writing these down on the inside of their name tent. So I always kind of reserve, you know, 5 minutes at the end of the day and encourage them to write down, you know, to do a little personal reflection in there. And then I tell them, that either if I'm facilitating, I will come around, or the facilitators, we will come around and we'll read those. So if you have a specific thing, you know, that you want to share with us or whatever, you can write it down on the inside. So then after the participants leave, then it does take a few extra minutes of your time. And if you're co-facilitating, it's kind of great because then you can kind of divvy them up a little bit. But then you also are kind of debriefing, oh, here's what so-and-so said. And they said they really like this, or, oh, they had a question about this. So now we're actually debriefing with one another around comments that the participants were making. So that's just kind of another way that you can look at it and do it. And you know, then we still have a quick, what I call huddle up, around, you know, what went well today, what would you do different, or things like that. So kind of, you know, highs and lows of the day, I guess, if you will. But I think just having the prompts from the participants sometimes can also help in that final debrief as well on how the day went.
And I believe that could happen with some programs do evaluations at the end, mm-hmm. depending on the group, usually adult groups. Maybe they'll get two or three questions. And then going through those mm-hmm. is helpful.
Yep.
I could definitely see working with young people and giving them an opportunity to make index cards, asking them, hey, how did it go today? What'd you like? What did you not like? And then by going through those cards, because that's sharing their voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fair to ask young people to share their voice at an end of a program. And then we can reflect and review by using their comments. That's another way. It's almost name tent-ish, mm-hmm. where you're writing and then responding. Other things along the lines of making sure your staff can communicate with you clearly, like the ropes course manager or the person you've been hired, person who hires you, is to have a note card file where you got questions for me. Well, here's some feet. So you're asking me things that you need to know. Maybe you don't have the answers within your group. Put them in the file, and then you're getting back to people. So I think it's about building that relationship. Mm. And if they're spending their time doing something, what is it for? They don't want to, quote unquote, waste their time, even though we believe it's a good idea to self-reflect. We do that with our participants, right? Don't we ask them to mm-hmm. take a moment, self-reflection. Let's do the labyrinth. Let's do a solo walk and come back and then write down what was important to you. That's the same, it's like Dr. Heal Thyself sort of
right.
a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we are telling people to do things. How are we then benefiting from that same process? Mm-hmm. So there's interesting ways that you can get buy-in to do this, but you have to be a part of that, I
right.
think. I think the biggest thing is being a part of that. What about showing up at the end of a program every once in a while with a cooler full of cold soda
mm-hmm.
or something where you sit down and then you do the debrief with them every once in a
mm-hmm.
while? You know, is that possible? You are showing that it's important to you to get this information. And eventually, like we do with our participants, we encourage that thinking on your own. Maybe you'll do it more
yeah.
on your own.
And then I think the recording of that information is also important. And I will openly admit that that is not something that I have always been good at,
yeah.
is, you know, taking the even listing out what we did that day. Like, I have my sequence going in, but sometimes I've written that on a note card and that note card did not get stuck in a file somewhere, or I didn't take a picture of it or whatever. So now that I have more staff and now that I have other people that kind of pack the gear bags and things like that, I now have it digitized to where I'm like, you know, it's in the calendar, in the Microsoft calendar or whatever, digitally, to where I can go back and I'm like, oh, that's right. That's what I did here, 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 and here.
Yeah.
So I'm a little better at it now, but I will say that it has not been a strength of mine in the past.
Well, I've gotten better since I got an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I've found it super easy. I always, as I mentioned before, I start to, as soon as I have a program that I know I'm going to do, I start thinking about it. I make a little section I have a notebook app.
Mm-hmm.
And I make a little section, I put the date in, I put the name, all the logistics, all that kind of stuff. And then as I think about that program and their outcomes, I'll start writing it in the iPad. It's, you know, so easy. It's easier than having to do a notebook, in my opinion, because a notebook didn't really work well for me. And then once I'm ready for the program, I do a little design. So I have all my list of activities on one or two notebook pages. And then I take that, I transcribe that into an index card,
mm-hmm.
put the index card in my pocket. And then when I come back, I cross out the ones I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I write at the bottom what went well, what could be do a little better, what do I want to try next time. So for me, going into my iPad, it is just so fast and clear.
Mm-hmm.
Add another page to that notebook. I write down my thinking just to get it on paper so I can solidify it in my brain. And then to me, that's a reflection that helps me to do better next time.
Yeah, and then you save it to a PDF and you can put
exactly.
it in a client file and then
exactly.
it's ready to go. So
yeah.
Tips from Chris. I'm going to have to start doing that more often.
Yeah, it's when you're tired, it's very hard to do those cognitive tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the easiest steps to make that activation energy, you know, having to find activation energy is about if you want to create a habit, it's got to be easy. If you want to get rid of a habit, you've got to make the activation like really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go down those aisles in the store because you don't want to buy those things, right? You want to deprogram that. So by creating the habit, what's the easiest way? Where are the pens? Where are the papers? Do you have a phone tripod that you could, is it in the shed where they can put their phone on, turn their phone on and do their debrief so you can hear it? Make it fun like that. Do things that surprise them so that they know this stuff is important. And then at some point in time, look back and give them almost that lesson of, okay, we've been reflecting now, let's talk to each other about why we do this. Mm-hmm. What have you gotten from it? What could we do better? So then you're doing that little assessment on how the reflection is going. So treat it with importance, and I think the staff will treat it with the same.
Yeah. So curious listeners, if you have any additional ideas on this topic, we'd love to collect some, and it could be another future podcast episode as well.
Thanks so much for listening. If you have additional answers or comments about this question, please send them our way. And if you have a question you'd like us to tackle, we would love to hear it. You can find the submission link and anything we discussed in today's episode in the show notes. Find the show notes and past episodes at onteambuilding.com/askpodcast. That's onteambuilding.com/askpodcast. You can find me and sign up for my newsletter at training-wheels.com.
You can sign up for my Fun Doing Fridays activity email and find me at onteambuilding.com. We hope you join us next week for Ask Michelle and Chris about team building.